that the block right behind us and five houses down had a gas leak and blew up. Grabbed everybody's attention. Everybody in the neighborhood ran to the house to see what was going on. That's exactly what happened here. There was a loud noise like the sound of a violent wind that took place. A sound that was so large that it grabbed everybody's attention. Now, I want to look at a few things here just so we, you know, be good Bible students. It was not a violent wind. It was a sound like a violent wind. So oftentimes we hear people say, oh, man, I felt the rush of the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, man, it ain't a rush here, man. This is just a sound. You hear people talk about a tornado coming, and they say it sounds like a freight train. That's what it sound like. It grabbed everyone's attention. And it said that there were tongues as of fire. Tongues as of fire. I don't know what a tongue as a fire look like. Yeah, I'm just going to be real with you. I don't know. You know, man, I know when I'm out there barbecuing, man, I put too much lighter fluid on, so whoop, you know what I mean? Maybe that's a tongue of fire. I don't know what a tongue of fire is. And I don't think Luke actually knew what a tongue of fire was either when he was writing this. It's like as a fire. He's trying to describe something. I don't know what it was, man, but you know what? It was like a tongue of fire. But it was on each and every one of them. Now, this is what's deep to me. It says it rested on them. You know what I mean? Now, when was the last time fire rested on you? It ain't burned you, man. You know what I mean? This is an amazing thing here. We got a noise like a rushing wind that's like an explosion, like a freight train. And when you look up, there's these things that look like tongues of fire resting on folk, and it ain't burning them. It's an amazing scene. Now, why did God do that? You know, I've been thinking about this. Why did God do that? You know, as a pastor, folks come to me all the time. They want to know the will of God. You know, what's the will of God for my life? You know, I don't know what the will of God is. Man, I don't even know what the will of God is for my life. I'm trying to figure it out as I'm going along. But you want to know what the will of God is. And you know how we pray. Let's be real. We know how we pray. God, I don't know if you want me to take this job or not. I don't know if you want me to marry this woman or not. I don't know what's going on here. But Lord, make it plain. Lord, open the door so wide that I cannot mistake the fact that this is what you want me to do. Make it plain to me. See, I think that's the issue right here. Jesus had told the disciples, y'all go back to Jerusalem and I want you to wait because the Holy Spirit is coming. You know, the brothers might have missed the Holy Spirit. You know, was that him? I don't know, man. What do you think? And so God making it plain. Look here. You hear it. You see it. He is here. There is no mistaking that the Holy Spirit has shown up. See, I think that's what it is. We make too much big deal out of it. God is making it clear that his Holy Spirit has arrived on the scene. And he has filled each and every one of the individuals who is in that room. That's what the fire or the tongues of fire symbolized as it rested on each and every one of them. It filled them. Now, what does it mean to be filled? And I know that you guys are going to go through this, through Acts, the whole thing, and I know it's going to be explained to you, but let me just explain what I think it is. I believe that filled with the Holy Spirit means living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's number one. But number two, that we are given the ability to do things that we cannot do in our natural selves. That the Holy Spirit infuses us with his power to be able to do that which is beyond us. That's what I think it is. And we'll see this as this passage unfolds. Now, living under the influence, we understand that. If you drunk, you understand what living under influence is. And if you in love, you understand what it is. Right? Premarital counseling, man. I mean, folks come in here all the time. Oh, I'm just in love with Sally Sue. You know what I mean? And you know, and people, they just so in love. You know, you're trying to work with the real stuff. You know what I mean? Come on, man. You know, okay, get off that cloud. But see, but they so in love, they under the influence of this other individual. God is saying when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are under the Spirit's influence. And he is able to do things in our life that we could not do in our natural strength. And what do? They speak in other languages. They have the ability to be able to speak in the language of all these individuals who have come from all around for this feast of Pentecost. You know, I got a great illustration of this. A couple weeks, that same Thursday, we went to Stone Cold Cream, Cold Stone. I knew one of them was wrong, because you don't want to be Stone Cold, or is it Cold Stone? I don't know what it is, but I knew it was one of them. But you know, I took my kids there. You know what I mean? I took my kids there. Because, you know, my wife was over in Grand Rapids. I'm supposed to be getting there because the snow is coming. But I decide we're going to go to Cold Stone Creamery because I'm going to be good dad while mama gone. You know what I mean? Yeah, don't believe all that stuff mama be telling you. I'm cool. You know what I mean? So I take them there. And so I'm asking them what they want. And so my daughter, she decided to get mint ice cream with gummy bears. And then I wonder why when we get to Grand Rapids, she regurgitate. You know, I can't figure it out. I can't connect the dots. So anyway, we there at Cold Stone. And while we're there, there's this couple and family a table over from us. And so I come back to the table, and my son, Samuel, who is 8 years old, you know, very intellectual, he says to me, "Dad, there are some people next to us who are speaking Spanish." I said, "Oh, is that right?" And so they are speaking a foreign language. However, the young lady who is the wife, she has either on her East Indian or Pakistani garb. So obviously she is not speaking Spanish, but my son thinks she's speaking Spanish. And my daughter corrects him. "No, they're not speaking Spanish. They're speaking French." So, okay, well, that's cool. You know, so while we're sitting there, you know, I'm thinking about this passage of scripture. And I'm thinking, man, wouldn't that be so cool if the Holy Spirit would fill me right now that I might be able to understand the dialect and the language they're talking and begin to come over there and say, "Excuse me," in their own language and begin to talk to them about the glories of God. It'd blow their mind. And that's what happened in Acts 2. The apostles had the ability to speak in the language of all these individuals who had come there to offer their first fruits to God. And we'll see this. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?'" You know what they're saying there? "Are these men Galileans?" Now, you know, we in a mixed company, so I'm not going to say this. But, you know, it's like, are they from Kentucky? You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, wait a minute. Now, how do these individuals who are unlearned, unschooled, unkept, how in the world are they able to speak in all of these languages? blowing their mind. And they can't figure it out. They are able to do that which in themselves they cannot do naturally. And that same Holy Spirit is available to us to fill us and to help us to do things that we can't naturally do. Turn me right quick. I'm not going to stay here long. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, and then we're going to come right back. And I'm just going to Ephesians chapter 5 right now because I gave my slide. I'm like, okay, well, we better go there because I don't want them to be off kilter here. But Ephesians chapter 5 talks about being filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit in chapter 5, starting in verse 18, it says, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So being filled with the Spirit causes us or allows us to have joy in our life. Even in the midst of struggles, we can still praise God for what God is doing. Not necessarily for the problem, but that God is working in us and that He is going to bring us through it. Now he continues on about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. All right. Chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. I knew that wasn't going to fly. But see, that's what filled with the Spirit is. It means to submit yourself. Wives, submit yourself. Now, you know what? I tell you something. Submit yourself to your husband. But see, this is the problem. See, because most women now, you know what I mean? I understand. I got a wife. Most women don't have a problem with submitting themselves to their husband. But the problem is that little phrase at the end, as unto the Lord. That's the issue. Now, I'm going to tell you, I preach this in my church. My wife hollered amen and started clapping because she know good and well, you know what I mean? I'd be like, honey, you going to submit to me as unto the Lord? She said, when you start acting like the Lord, then I'll submit. You know what I mean? So that's the issue. Being filled with the Spirit. Now, brothers, verse 25, husband, love your wives. Yeah, brothers like, oh, yeah, I do that, man. I take out the dinner, man. You know, I do some things. Yeah, you know what I mean? But the problem is the rest of that phrase. It says, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In other words, you got to be willing to die for that woman. Now, look at you. You got to be filled with the Spirit, brothers. If you're going to live in such a way that you are willing to give your life. See, I believe being filled with the Spirit has practical applications. And sometimes we can't do that in our own strength. And so we need to call out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to fill me right now because I want to fulfill that which you have called me to do, but I need your Spirit to be able to handle it. And so that's what happened in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit filled them. And they were able to do that beyond their natural ability. You know, Christians getting divorced just like the world. And you know why? I believe because we are not being filled with the Spirit of God. The divorce rate, 50% for first marriages. 67% for second marriages. And 74% for third marriages. So it don't get better as you go along. And one of the reasons that the Christian household looks just like the world is because we are not submitting, we are not living under the influence of the Spirit of God. But back to Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 14, says, and Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now, you know, one of the things that amazes me about this passage of scripture is just amazing because we jumped over some verses. But these individuals thought, some of them thought, that the apostles were drunk, that they were full of sweet wine or new wine. And Peter has to get up and tell them, look, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, man. You know, these guys not drunk. Now, this is amazing to me. When was the last time that a drunk brother knew a new language? That's what amazes me. That absolutely amazes me. Hear me, now, I'm not going to give you my past and stuff, but I would always say, you know what I mean? And I kind of understand this. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I might have been thinking I was speaking new languages, French or German or whatever, but it was only in my own mind. They didn't know what I was talking about. And so this right here is amazing. Peter has to explain to them, that don't even make sense, man. How is it that drinking Mad Dog 2020, you can now speak in French? That don't make no sense to me. But the point is here, is that the Holy Spirit was given, the church was birthed, and it was birthed for the purpose of your sons and daughters being able to prophesy. That is the beginning of the church, that the gospel would spread worldwide so that God's Spirit will be poured out on all the earth. And we live in that legacy, brothers and sisters. That's why we are to spread the word so that God's Spirit might be poured out on all people. You know that picture, the picture that he has of the tongues as of fire? I believe that this is a picture of it. That just like a wildfire spreads, the gospel of Jesus Christ is to spread worldwide like a wildfire. It should be like fire caught up in our bones, and we have to share the good news. And as people accept Christ, God's Spirit infiltrates the whole world. You know, it's that time of year, right? We know it's coming. Watch the news. There are going to be fires in California and Nevada. All those places out there are always wildfires, man. Every day, every year you look out there, and you know, it's amazing to me. Yeah, because people always live in the woods, and they got their right. They can live wherever they want to. But you know, yeah, the fire catches on, and then what it's like, three different things they try and do. Number one, they try and cut down all the trees around their house so that the fire can't jump over and get their house. Or they set those little backfires, burn up everything around their house so that now when the fire gets there, it can't get them. Or, you know, of course, it's the water thing. And now I guess they got these planes or these helicopters that go and pick up all this water out of the ocean and come and drop it to try and stop the fire. Because the fire is deadly, man. It spreads. You know, I heard this one time. I don't even know if this is true. I heard this one time. They put out this fire, this forest fire, whatever. And when they finished it up, there was a brother laying down there in his scuba outfit. Did y'all hear about that? I guess, you know, plane came by and scooped it up, and the brother was in it and dropped him down in there. Yeah, I don't know. But all I know is that it spreads like wildfire. And that is what the gospel is all about. We are supposed to be spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ like wildfire so God's Spirit might be poured out on this whole earth. That's what he's saying. Another phrase here, which is great. Chapter 2, verse 24, Peter begins to give his sermon. And he's explaining to them that the reason that the Spirit has come is because the one that you've crucified has risen from the grave, and this one has sent the Spirit of God. And it's a beautiful verse here in verse 24. It says, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. That's a beautiful fact. It was impossible, man. It was impossible for death to contain Jesus Christ. It was an impossibility. Could not happen. And because of that, and him resurrected, he has sent his Spirit. Impossibility. Death, grave could not contain him. We know that because of the spring floods, right? Not too long ago, it was raining in the Midwest, and of course, the river overcame the riverbanks, and the banks could not hold the water. We know that from New Orleans. When Hurricane Katrina came, the levees were strong, but the levees could not contain the power of nature. The grave could not contain Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I was here one time and I was talking about Underdog. And they had came out with a movie, and I think I was kind of critical of the movie. But I went ahead and got it because my kids, you know, they like those kind of movies. And it was really pretty cool. I don't necessarily recommend movies, but this is a pretty wholesome movie, Underdog. But still, you know, it's not like the cartoon. And I know I'm dating myself, but those of you who along with me, y'all probably remember Underdog. And Underdog was cool. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting those who rob or plunder, Underdog. You know, I mean, Underdog was the man. Whenever he heard a cry for help, 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 you know, Underdog was coming. But of course, Underdog was in love with Polly Purebred. And man, when he found out that Polly Purebred was in trouble, Underdog went to the phone booth. And man, he just exploded in that phone booth because that phone booth could not contain the power that was in Underdog when he understood that Pilate was in trouble. Jesus Christ went to the grave, but the grave could not comprehend the power that was in Christ Jesus. And because he rose from the grave, he has sent his Holy Spirit to fill us with his power. To share the good news of Jesus Christ around this globe. Yeah. Praise God. And finally, verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Pretty much, I'm done. The Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost. He announced his coming by audible signs and visible wonders. He came because Christ, who died but rose again, sent him so that we might have the ability to do that which naturally we do not have the power to do. And that manifests itself in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others, with living in community with one another, and living in relationship with him. If there's anything that we can get from Acts 2, is that the Spirit of God was sent so that we might glorify him. Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that as we are believers in Jesus Christ, that you would fill us daily with your Spirit, that you would help us to live under the influence of your power, of your presence, and that you, Lord, would work through us that we might be able to do the things that you have directed us to do. Because in our own power, in our own strength, we don't have the ability. But because of your Spirit, we can do that, which in our own strength, we don't have the power to perform. And so we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, for you are worthy of all of our praise. Amen.